Let's read God's word this evening. We're going to turn to Exodus chapter 20 and read verse 8 to 11. Just a few verses in Exodus chapter 20. We're continuing on in our series in the Ten Commandments. And then we're going to read from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. So that's on pages 78 and then page 1208. Page 78 in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. Let's read God's word. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Turn with me now to Hebrews and chapter 10. And we can read verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Turn with me back to Exodus and chapter 20, if you can. Page 78. We're going to look at this fourth commandment together. If using maths leaves us struggling to understand the Trinity in the sense of 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1, if that is, using mathematical knowledge, quite hard to do, and it is, God is beyond maths in that sense, then our study title also leaves us with a bit of confusion. Are there really 10 commandments, or are there only 9? It is not only in society on a wider level that the fourth commandment is seen as redundant, but that's increasingly the case in the church too. And we also need to be honest about this, that the strict Sabbatarian enforcement, this idea of, in many cases, of no fun, of previous generations, that didn't help the cause. Is it 10 or is it 9? This one really confuses us. There have been different views on this commandment, not just across history, but also here among us in this room. And that needs to be acknowledged. We're all coming at this from different directions, opinions, tastes, abuses, and baggage. So let's try and approach this with an open mind and an open heart, willing to hear God out in his word. My first point this evening is to start at the start. We start at creation. Because think of the wording of this commandment. remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. If you're told, remember to put out the bins, it's because you already know what bins are. You already know there's a day set aside for the bins to be collected, and you know where to go to put them out. The word remember is echoing something you already roughly know. The last part of the commandment here makes that explicitly clear in verse 11. God is pointing us right back to the start, right back to creation. Because in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3, we get these words, which echo these words in Exodus 20. But I'm going to read Genesis 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. The principle of one day in seven, the principle of the Sabbath, did not start with Moses after the Exodus. It is not a Jewish invention. Instead, it's a principle written into creation itself. Now, the Ten Commandments did not start with Moses. It did not start with Israelites. They are all picking up on principles. All the Ten Commandments are picking up on principles that already existed from the beginning. Now, murder was not made explicitly wrong until here. But murder was already wrong in Genesis 4 when Cain murdered his brother Abel, way before that was written down here in Exodus 20. God has written the principles of the Ten Commandments into creation itself, into our hearts, minds, bodies, and consciences. Because the Ten Commandments morally reflect God's character. And his desire for all humanity as people made in his image. The Ten Commandments reflect his character morally and his desire for all humanity as people made in his image. So why was this day in Genesis chapter 2 even created like this? God didn't need to rest. Why did God bless the Sabbath day and make it holy? Now, the word holy there simply means that he set it apart for a different reason. A day or something being holy doesn't mean other days are sinful. In the same way that the temple in the middle of the city of Jerusalem was holy, but it didn't mean that people's homes were sinful. It means, at root, the word holy, set apart. It was set apart for a different reason. The temple was set apart and holy. The Sabbath here was set apart for a different reason. Doesn't make the other days sinful or weaker. They're for a different reason. They're for work. God blesses work. He wants us to work. That is for God's glory too. But he sets apart the one day for a different reason. God set a day apart so that it became a sign to our first parents, Adam and Eve, a sign of perfect, ongoing rest. 6 days of creation, God rested. It's a day, right back in Genesis, that's actually pointing forward to God's heavenly rest itself. Because that day, at its core, is all about God's rest. At its core, that is a day set aside where God rests. And he goes, remember, 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 remember that from week one, creation week, God wanted us to take time to rest and enjoy his rest and his grace. Because actually, that's true right throughout the Old Testament. So in Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments are shared again, but this time it's not so much with just creation in mind, but actually it's explicitly to do with salvation, with redemption. So in Deuteronomy 5:15, he's running through the Ten Commandments again, but they're told there to remember the Sabbath because God rescued them from slavery. Think of times in your life when you needed a break. The pressures of family, the pressures of work, and the pressures even of church and church life. They were incessant. Just kept on coming. And you were longing to step off the treadmill, but it wasn't happening. As slaves in Egypt, the people of God could only dream of a day off every week. You mean every week we're meant to get a day off? That was actually among one of the greatest joys of the freedom that they got after they were saved. They were given a freedom to rest. It was a freedom. Where did it all turn sour for us? Where has it turned into something that's not about freedom? The fourth commandment is, at its heart, about two core principles: God's creation and God's salvation, which leads us to respond with two core principles: worship and rest. They link together. We rest from the normal ebb and flow of life so that we might be free to worship God. And we give God worship in part by trusting him enough that we can rest. I'm free. I'm free from my deadlines. I'm free from other pressures. I'm free from the onslaught of things to do. So that I'm free to simply rest in the grace of God in worship and obedience. Now that is at heart the creation idea of the Sabbath day. It is a day that is actually pointing forward from week one to God's rest. It is a sign of God's heavenly rest. But by the time Jesus came, there needed to be a recreation. First point was creation. The second point was when Jesus came, there was a recreation. Because by the time Jesus came, well, the Sabbath was a clear thing in the life of Israel. And not only did they have the Moses laws, the Mosaic laws, but actually the whole day had grown arms and legs. So the Pharisees had invented many, quite frankly, ridiculous laws to ensure that nobody broke the fourth commandment. For example, I'll give you one. You could throw something in the air and catch it if it was the same hand. If you threw something up in the air and caught it with the other hand, it was considered work. That's the level of detail that they went to when they created rules and rules and rules to ring around the Ten Commandments and actually ring around the Moses laws of Scripture. And it brought them into conflict with Jesus. It brought them into conflict with Jesus on this one issue more than any other issue. Because Jesus accused them of robbing this day of its character and its purpose. So that's why they were scolded by Jesus in Mark chapter 2. And he says to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And actually, Jesus broke the rules that the Pharisees made up. left, right, and center. He broke the rules they made up. He was against their interpretation of the law. He was against their additions to the law. And where the rules were robbing the day of its purpose and its character and its freedom, he broke the rules. But he never once violated the fourth commandment itself. Matthew 5 tells us that Jesus did not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. And he says in that same passage that the law will carry on until the end of time. Which, again, begs the question that we've come back to again and again when studying the Ten Commandments. What is the Christian's relationship to the law? It will not save you. It can't, because we're the problem. We sin. But it is the guide to how we follow God, because they're God's laws. It's the train tracks by which we rumble forward that gives us direction as to how we carry on living the Christian life. And actually, everything Jesus did was right in line with the joy, the grace, and the restoration that characterized the Sabbath day in the Old Testament. How did Jesus use the Sabbath day? How did he keep the fourth commandment? Because he did. Didn't keep the Pharisee rules away. He kept the fourth commandment. How did he do it? He worshipped and he rested. And he did good. It's not a day. You heard this morning that there's a time to be still. And that doesn't mean that the Sabbath is therefore a time to do nothing and nap all day long. That's not what it means when we're talking about the stillness before the Lord. It's not a day of stillness in the sense of doing nothing. It's a good day for doing good. That's what Jesus used it as. He did good constantly on the Sabbath. If we want to have an example of keeping this commandment, then he is that example. But there is a bigger picture here as well. Stay with me on this one. Now that Jesus has come, the Jewishness of the Sabbath day is gone. Now that Jesus has come, the Jewishness, the distinct Israelite quality as a nation, how they were guided in the Old Testament to be distinct as a nation, the rules that we read of, you know, particularly in the chapters like Leviticus or other chapters in Exodus, the Moses laws, the Mosaic rules, all of them have been fulfilled in Jesus and done, and they're finished. Unlike the Pharisee rules, he kept the Moses ones because they're from God. God gave it to him. And they have a gospel point to those rules. But when he died and rose again, the curtain was torn in two. The Mosaic covenant, the Mosaic laws were finished. All the ceremonial stuff, the sacrifices, the temple, finished. The civil rules that were unique to the state of Israel at the time. So things like the punishments, for example, on the Sabbath day, the stonings, the tough passages in Scripture that we read of, or for punishments for a whole range of things, they're all finished through Jesus. Colossians 2 makes that actually very clear. It says that these laws, and it says that the Sabbaths were a shadow of the real thing to come. And the substance, Colossians says, is Jesus. The focal point is Jesus. Which is why this principle of one day in seven. For worship and for rest focuses on his resurrection day. Sunday. Now. The first day of the week. It's a gospel day. It's resurrection day. It's still in principle the same. One day in seven. But it's now become a weekly celebration of Jesus. That's the whole point. We don't end our week with our rest and our worship. We start our week with rest and worship. We start with a day that is meant to be a reminder of the gospel. We've got plenty of clues in the New Testament that the followers of Jesus met on the first day of the week, and they began to call it the Lord's Day. We can call it the Christian Sabbath if we want. And that is the Christian Sabbath, not the Jewish Sabbath. The Jewishness of the day is gone. But this is a day where we take a day to cease from ourselves. And instead, we worship and we rest in Jesus. The fourth commandment hasn't gone anywhere. Fourth commandment has been there, written into creation itself. It's not gone anywhere. Even when Jesus did away with the Jewishness of the day and the many rules and punishments of the day itself is still there. Jesus blows the dust off the law and he restores this commandment to its original beauty. And the original beauty that Jesus restores is that it's always been about gracious rest. The Sabbath, and I'll say it again and again, it's a gospel day. A day where we rest on the work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the real ultimate spiritual meaning of the Sabbath. It's been that way since creation. Because that day, pointing forward at the end of the week, back in creation week, pointed forward to God's gracious rest. I am gracious to you, he was telling them week one, to give you a day off. That is pointing to my grace to you. And the fullness of that grace and the fullness of that rest, it's found in Jesus. It's pointing us to the gospel. And it calls us not simply to rest our limbs and our bodies, but to rest the whole weight of our souls, to rest the weight of our destinies on Jesus Christ, who saves us by his grace. There is a creation core to this day that will never end while we're here living on earth. There is a recreation where Jesus in himself, through his death and his resurrection, there is a continuity from the Old Testament to the New. But there's also a discontinuity. We don't live Old Testament lives. Jesus has done away with a lot of it. But now I want to unpack how we can live out this day. I want to call this point new creation. Creation, recreation, new creation. And I want to ask the question, what do you think of when you hear of the word heaven? Because the fourth commandment points us to heaven. It was a weekly reminder of God's rest. And it still is. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Heaven is still to come. And the fullness of resting in God is still to come. Which means, for now, we still need the reminder. We still need to remember. We still need the day. Because we're still tired. We still need the sign. And actually, we still need God's grace to give us that day to stop and be still and rest in Jesus. Absolutely, we have already begun resting in Jesus. We rest from our works in the sense of salvation. We have the rest of God's peace with us already. But the rest is not yet complete. Sin still remains. Our suffering, our tiredness, our sorrows, our sickness, they still exist. These things disrupt and shatter our spiritual rest and our physical rest. So we're longing for a final Sabbath rest for heaven to come, when all things are made new. But this is our day to trust that God's rest is better. It's for us to use for the good of our bodies and for the good of our souls to point us forward to enjoy the rest and the worship of Jesus. Again, Alistair talked about stillness this morning, which means not being chaotic. God has given us in his grace a day to not live out the chaos of this world and instead to stop the chaos, to cease the chaos, and give time to rest properly in Jesus. How do we then obey this commandment? How do we live out this day? The big idea of the Lord's Day, the big idea of living out the fourth commandment, is to give Jesus his worship by ceasing and resting in him. Give Jesus his worship by trusting and loving him enough to worship him and rest in his word. Give Jesus our worship by gathering together, which is a command in Scripture. We read it in Hebrews chapter 10. Do not neglect meeting together, as some do. The Lord's Day is a day where we are free to gather together, to spur each other on, to rest in Jesus, both practically and spiritually. Which means it's a pretty clear principle that we should cease from the things that pull you away from resting and worshiping in Jesus together with God's people. That we should orientate our lives and our schedule to make sure we are doing what the earliest Christians did, even when the earliest Christians were slaves and were forced to work on the Lord's Day. They, out of the joy of what Sabbath was meant to mean to them for worshiping and resting in Christ, they met as early in the morning as they could, and so late at night. They would work in the day in between because they were forced to. But they made sure they met together to worship God and to rest in their Lord and Savior. This is getting harder for us nowadays with Sunday employment. Will we reach the time that the early church had to go through? And will we have to at some point meet late and early on the Lord's day to encourage each other because we're forced to work? And as a question that we'll have to leave to each other's consciences to process and understand. Their desire then was clear. Where is our desire in the freedom that we have to rest and to worship in Jesus? To use the freedom to rest in him. Some people are privileged to navigate this issue of working on Sundays. People like Dan Walker, who is a BBC presenter, he made a point very early on of not working on Sundays. And we see him, we can see him every morning on our TVs, but we won't see him on a Sunday. He's in church. We have people like Ewan Murray, the ex-Scottish rugby player, who again, at a point in his career, decided to say, actually, I'm not going to play rugby on Sundays. Every Scotland game that was on a Saturday, he was playing. But he worshipped with us in Glasgow. We got to know him really well because that's the time he took to give over to the Lord and to make sure he and his family were resting and worshiping in Jesus. For others, that's not the issue. It's the opposite care of trying to squeeze in church. And we ask and we say things like, it's my family day. It's my family day. It's the day my wife and I catch up on lost time. It's fill in the blanks. Honestly, fill in the blanks with your answer. And spending time with our spouse and family, that is a great thing. It's a wonderful privilege. But actually, leaving that for Sunday suggests an imbalance somewhere else along the line. Or we might say, well, I'll give Sunday morning over to Jesus. But he gave us a day for your own good. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Friends, we're tired. People are stressed and tired. Give him your day. Rest in Jesus, morning and evening. Gather together under the sound of the Word of God so that you can rest in the Word of God. You can eat it up, feed on the Word of God, delighting and praising Him who is the Word of God. And we do that together, spurring on each other to do good and to love one another, as Hebrews says. What kind of habits are we teaching each other? And our children. Ultimately, the question is Sunday your day of climax, where you're worshiping and resting and praising, or is it your day of collapse? It's so easy to pack our weeks, to pack our Saturdays, to pack even all of our evenings full of stuff, so many late nights, and then by the time it comes to Sunday, we're shattered. We're too tired to even function mentally and actually actively worship and rest in God. Because we're misusing the 6 days that God gave us to do all the other things we were meant to do. We're packing it too full. In a life of stress, God has given us an oasis in the desert of busyness. And don't let a history, if you've got one, don't let a history of over-enforced Sundays. You'll notice I've not said particular things here, and I won't. I can't bind people's consciences. But don't let a history of over-enforced Sundays make you make the mistake of going the opposite way. Because when we lose the Sabbath, we lose grace. We lose the gospel emphasis that God is in control. Let's trust him by giving him a day and ceasing from the things that tire us out. He's in control, not us. God has given us a day off because, man alive, we need it. He gave us a day to rest and worship and do good. For people who work out on their feet 6 days a week, then sure, yeah, for them to rest would mean sit down, maybe take a nap. Don't worry about those things today. For those who work in an office job, maybe, then go for a walk, get on your bike, rest in a different way with your body. Actively enjoy God's creation because you're stuck in an office the other days. Use it as a day for God's family. Use it as a day for practicing hospitality and do good just like Jesus did. Look out for one another. Open up our eyes to the people around us and the community around us. It's not a holiday. And it's not your day or my day. It's not even a family day as such. It's a different day for our own good. It's a set apart gospel day. One day a week where we are reminded of the heavenly rest that God gives us in Jesus Christ. Richard Baxter, a writer from way back, he said this: use your Sabbaths as stepping stones to glory until you have passed them all and are there arrived. Let me finish with an appeal to enjoy your rest from the lips of Jesus himself in Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yes, there's still a commandment to follow, but it's such an easy yoke, one that gives rest to our soul. And indeed for our bodies. Jesus wants to give me and you his rest. So come to him. Find that rest for yourself. Come to the one who is so gentle and humble in heart that he gifts his people with a day off when everyone else is just putting the pressure on. But every week, every day, come and enjoy and rest and love the Lord Jesus Christ. But every week, enjoy more fully a day he gives you to gather together, to worship him, and look forward, really look forward to the rest to come. Amen. May the Lord bless to us these thoughts and words.